This morning we're in 2 John. There's all of 13 verses in 2 John. And this, perhaps, is the shortest book of the Bible. 13 verses. 3 John has fewer words, but it has 14 verses. But anyway, 8 out of the 13 verses are almost identical repeats of 1 John. And in 1 John, the elder, or John himself, and he's about 90 years old, but he's still of sound mind, and he has kind of reduced his message to the subject of love. And John tells us we're to love God completely, thoroughly, with heart, soul, and mind. And we're to love our fellow brethren with that same kind of devotion that we love God. So, without further ado, let's read the second book of John. The elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth. Because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, and we received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, do as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which you have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things which we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of the elect sister greet you. Amen. John, the elder, writes to believers concerning the truth. And he calls himself an elder. John was commonly known as the elder. When Jesus was giving his final instructions to his disciples in his dissertation of Peter, do you love me more than these type thing, Peter's life is spelled out for him by Jesus. But Peter has a reply. But what about John? And Jesus tells Peter, focus on my words to you, Peter, and if I will that he, John, remains till I come, what is that to you? You, Peter, follow me. And that's good instructions for any of us. But a rumor spreads, and the rumor is that John would not die. But Jesus didn't say he would not die. But here we find John the elder, for he is an older man. Like I said, he's about 90 years old. And John by far outlived the other disciples. He is the oldest disciple. Kind of known for the fact that he wasn't going to die. But John was boiled in oil, didn't die. He's been banished to the Isle of Patmos, which was a kind of a prison island. And church history tells us that John was carried from church to church, and he had one message. Little children, love one another. Now, it's kind of hard to be self-centered, I should say, when we love like the Lord asks us to love in the agape style. The elder writes to, among others, someone that's known as the elect lady. Now, there's some debate as to whom this lady is. Some say the elect lady and her children are simply the fellowship of believers there. Others say no, she is a beloved, hospitable servant in the church. But John, he refuses to divulge her identity. And that might have been because persecution is arising in the church, and it took hold, and John just may be simply protecting her. But John wants us to know his love towards her and her children. So I think she's a literal person, a real human being. In John's words, she is loved by all the fellowship who have known the truth. Every now and again, we can see love being demonstrated among our body, among fellow believers, and we see acts of kindness, acts of mercy, and this gladdens our heart when we see fellow Christians responding in love to one another. As believers, truth is shown by our love for one another. Now, we can overlook many traits of fellow believers, but when we know the truth that abides in them, we're drawn to them. And John, he makes a very vital point here. He says, as Christians, truth is paramount to us. As believers, we rejoice in the truth. Have you ever stopped and considered, of all the religions in the world, we have the truth? What a blessing it is to just fellowship in truth. There are false teachers, and many TV preachers are difficult for me to listen to, and all of their pleas, send your money to us. Or they can get off on a health and wealth type doctrine. Or perhaps they even say, be all you can be for Jesus, and they want you to prosper. But John gives us his salutation in verse 3. Grace, mercy, and peace. May it be with you from God the Father. And grace, mercy, and peace also from our Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. Many of the epistles in the New Testament give a blessing up front before they get into exhortation of that group. And John, he rejoices greatly. And he rejoices because he knows that the children of faith are walking in truth. As a pastor, it gives me great joy and comfort to see you, the saints of God, walking and living out truth. For not all Christians follow wholeheartedly after the truth. Not all live out grace, mercy, and peace. Walking in truth is when we allow the Word of God to comfort and correct us, to correct our thoughts, to correct our behavior. In John, in verse 5, he pleads with this honored lady the same commandment given from the beginning. And that commandment was, love one another. This message of John is to this prominent lady in this fellowship. That's interesting because John is not necessarily writing to young converts, but he's writing to the established, honored lady. Love one another. So to all of us who have walked with the Lord for years, perhaps we need to listen to John's exhortation and awaken to loving one another. And by loving one another, we fulfill the commandment to love. In verses 7 through 9, John now delivers a warning. There are many, that's a whole bunch, by the way, many deceivers who deny Jesus came in the flesh. The Gnostics, they're a group of John's day, they were a group of deceivers that John had to deal with. And a Gnostic does not believe Jesus literally came in the flesh, but he only came as a spirit. Because anything of the flesh to a Gnostic was sinful. Jesus happens to be the only sinless one to ever live his life completely free of sin. And he came in the flesh. But Jesus, he is the divider in the Godhead. What do I mean by that? Multitudes of people do not believe or accept Jesus as the Son of God or being sinless. That was true in John's day, and it's true today. The whole world watches us, believers, to see what we will claim and if what we claim, if it's true in our lives. Verse 8, John declares there is a reward, a full reward if we hold fast to our truth and belief, which is a work of faith within us. Perhaps you're like me. Sometimes we wonder why our friends and relatives oppose us, oppose our beliefs as works, doing good works as believers. Well, we're contrary to an unbeliever. An unbeliever, they live totally and completely for the pleasures of this life, pleasures of this flesh, or they live for some goal that they've set for them, and they look for ease of life. My wife, Lori, is retiring from Boeing. She has less than a month. And as she nears that final day, she received in the mail this week a 56-page document on how to exit Boeing. 56 pages. And we don't want Lori to lose her benefits. Boeing's been good. Her benefits of retiring. And she is processing out by these guidelines. So verse 8 applies to a secular job also. We don't want to lose those things that she's worked for. And if this principle is true in the job force today, how much more does it apply to our spiritual lives? We don't want to lose the benefits promised to us as believers. And in verse 9, John lays down a practical command. If you're not abiding in the doctrine of Christ, and you find yourself a transgressor against the doctrines of Christ, listen to what John has to say. You do not have God. Wow. Straightforward, point blank. If you're not abiding in Christ, you don't have the Father. The basic doctrine of John, he's known as the disciple of love, is abide in Christ and love one another. Love God and love your fellow believers, other children of God. And how are you to love? With all your heart, soul, and mind. To love in the agape way requires us to abide in Christ. We cannot love the agape way in the strength of our flesh. We can't do it. In verse 10, we're not to receive, we're not to have intimate fellowship with any person who rejects the doctrine of Christ. Wow, John just limited our social outlay there. He says, you're not to have fellowship with anybody who rejects the doctrine of Christ. Lest we find ourselves supporting a sinful lifestyle. That's what John fears. We don't want to find ourselves apart from Christ or this Father by associating with those who do not accept him. It's that simple. How does this manifest itself? Well, recently on TV, and I try not to watch the news anymore, it upsets me too much, I heard a plea for white Christian churches to join the social outcry for Black Lives Matter. Now that's a given. Black lives do matter. Don't fool yourself. All lives matter. And we agree with that. Black lives do matter. But our doctrine should go further than Black Lives Matter. It should go to all lives matter. And as a Christian, I'm deeply concerned for the killing, the aborting of babies in their mother's womb. Thousands, thousands are aborted in our country each and every week, month, and year. Thousands. And the murder of these infants is a tragedy. It's a stain upon our society, much, much greater than social injustice. Yet we don't hear about the abortion issue. As a fellowship, we give regularly on a monthly basis to the Huntsville Pregnancy Resource Center, or Choose Life, Save a Life, basically. So in part, your tithes and offerings go towards saving lives of the unborn. And these babies that do go through this process of having given life and received life, we believe their lives matter. And by the way, there are many black babies that are going through this process and given life, and they're not aborted. And so black lives do matter, but so do all lives. All lives matter to our Lord and should matter to us. But John, he concludes. He says, I would write much more to you, but I hope to come to you and talk to you face to face. If you know me very well, you know I'm not a telephone person. If I want to talk to you, I try to have a sit-down face-to-face encounter. I do text a little bit because in text and it's said and done. But when we could not meet as a fellowship, I was a fish out of water. I enjoy the fellowship of you people. WebEx, we did that for a few weeks. It's better than nothing, but only slightly. So it's good for us to come together and have fellowship. We did space the rows out a little bit. Some of you wear a face mask. That's okay. No problem there. Be safe, but it's good for us to have fellowship together as a body of believers. Amen. Amen. Next week, we'll cover 3 John. I covered a full book in one Sunday. And so we rejoice. So if I can get you to stand, we'll close in prayer.